Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The news for affordable housing this legislative session was mixed, though there are still massive unmet housing needs for low-income families across North Carolina. Here to talk about it is Santana DeBerry with the North Carolina Housing Coalition. Thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Glad to be here.
We haven't had a chance to talk since the session ended, so let's start with this legislative session. Overall, how do you think affordable housing and the needs of folks who need affordable housing fared?
I think they fared poorly. We didn't lose any ground, which I hate to say is where we're at the state level on affordable housing issues. They fully funded the Housing Trust Fund, fully funded the Workforce Housing Loan Program. Those are the two things that we were mainly concerned about, and they stayed level. So in that sense, we are okay. But as you know, North Carolina is very quickly growing, and in many of our metropolitan areas, housing costs are going up. And so affordability is a really huge issue. So staying level is not a win.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those needs. I think sometimes people think of affordable housing, they think of the low-income rural areas, but it might even be a more chronic or acute problem in the city centers.
Well, we have housing affordability issues in all 100 counties. And in low-income and rural communities, housing is made affordable mostly by being substandard. But in these really fast-growing metropolitan communities, developers are just building for the market, and they don't have to completely fill up. I know people often say to me, well, who's living in all of these places that cost so much? One, the new jobs pay more than existing jobs here. But also, those rental properties don't have to be. They can be about 60% full and still make money. So they're not losing any sleep over vacancy rates. And they're just not building at the lower end of the market for people who are making about 80 to 100% of average wages.
And I guess that's one reason the Housing Trust Fund exists, isn't it? To sort of help developers be able to afford to build affordable housing, which is why the stagnant funding becomes a problem.
At this point, the Housing Trust Fund exists to help house the very low income. So really that money is usually used for domestic violence shelters, transitional housing for people leaving homelessness. While we definitely need more resources on that end of the spectrum, just resources for working people don't exist much anymore.
What should they have done? What could they have done?
Well, they could have done a couple things. They could provide more money to local governments to invest in their housing needs at a local level. We're of the belief that really local governments and local communities can identify much more quickly the kind of needs for their community. They could allow some zoning changes, let local communities make their own zoning changes and not reserve all those rights for the General Assembly. That would be very helpful in communities where, like Chapel Hill and Davidson, which are already small and are really growing very quickly, they can work with developers to set aside some affordable housing as developers are building. So those are things that could have really been helpful.
Every so often, there's a story about a town opposing the construction of affordable housing. Do we still have a problem with people having misconceptions about what affordable housing is and what it will mean to their community?
Sure, absolutely. I like to say affordable housing is like art. Everybody thinks they know it when they see it. Historically, people have thought of affordable housing as public housing. We don't build public housing in the United States anymore. So when we're talking about affordable housing, we are talking about housing that is affordable for people who make about 50% of the average median income up to about 120%. So that's mostly in this economy, that's retail workers, that's teachers, that's police, that's firefighters, folks who kind of when we were growing up in North Carolina used to be able to own their own homes and can't so much anymore.
There have been some stories off and on, but we literally have firefighters who can't live in the places that they protect.
Oh, absolutely. It hasn't gotten this bad in North Carolina, but we've heard stories of the police chiefs or fire chiefs in Silicon Valley who have to drive 2 hours a day back and forth because they can't afford to live in those communities that they protect.
The National Low Income Housing Coalition says the state housing wage in North Carolina is $15.79 an hour. What does that mean, a state housing wage?
That means what you would have to make to afford a fair market rate 2-bedroom rental apartment. And so that is kind of the standard of how we talk about housing affordability. That number is even quite low. Fair market rate is determined, it's a bureaucratic number, but it's really determined by taking the average of what it costs to rent in a place. But even that average kicks out the lowest cost housing. So it kicks out any public housing or anything like that. And it also doesn't take into account anything that's been developed in the last 3 years. So for places like the Triangle, Charlotte, that's really significant because there's been so much development of market rate rental over the last 3 to 5 years. Those numbers are not even included. So the real numbers are probably about $20 an hour in most places in North Carolina you'd have to make to afford a two-bedroom apartment.
And then as you read stories, there was a recently an article by an NC State economist about the disappearing middle class in North Carolina. There are a lot of people who work 40 hours a week who I think maybe our listeners wouldn't traditionally think of as low income, who make nowhere near $20 an hour.
Absolutely. I know when I was growing up in North Carolina, $20 an hour was a good job. Those jobs don't exist much anymore. You have some really high income jobs and then some very low income jobs. I know there's a story on NPR this morning about teachers and how teachers are the lowest paid professionals. They have to go to school. Right. You have to have a college degree to teach. That's expensive. And so the combination of an expensive schooling and then a low paid job, you end up with student debt, which really we're starting to see impact people's ability to afford housing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, $20 an hour is more than significantly more than a starting teacher makes.
Absolutely.
What about the hurricane relief efforts? We've talked to you about that and others about that before. The General Assembly did put a little bit of money into that. What are the housing needs still out there and what should we do about it?
Hurricane Matthew hit mostly rural communities, which already had housing issues. Our organization has been working with emergency management and lots of other organizations in Robeson County and Cumberland County and Edgecombe County to really identify what the housing need is and how we're going to move forward with that. Most of the money that the General Assembly provided for Hurricane Matthew and most of the federal money that was provided was for housing. So what we are hoping to see is some, not just some new development, but some new ways to think about how people are housed in these communities.
I was really struck by outgoing Governor McCrory when he went on tours after Hurricane Matthew before he left office, and he mentioned Robeson County, and he seemed shocked and surprised that people had been living in these houses before they were damaged and the standard of housing. So that sort of leads me to, do the folks who represent us in the General Assembly and in Washington understand really what the affordable housing struggle is? And if not, how do we make them?
I don't think people get it. We do a lot of work with local government leaders, state leaders, federal leaders. And one of the things we always try to do first before we even start talking about the numbers is to get people out on a tour to see what housing looks like in their community and what the need really is. Like I said earlier, in places like Robeson County, those places may have been affordable before the storm, but that was because people were living in substandard conditions. And there are lots of options, especially in these rural communities. Manufactured housing is an option. Unfortunately, sometimes those have predatory loans attached to them. But that's one of the things we've been working on. Like we see that as a real option for people in those communities. But you really have to go out and see how people live. A lot of that is masked by how we live today. People tend to just kind of hang out with the people that live like they do. And so they think everybody, they have some bias around how people live because they think everybody lives like them. But there are some really poor living conditions for folks in North Carolina who are not even what we would traditionally consider low income.
And finally, before I let you go, I can't not ask about what is happening in Washington. A lot of the rhetoric and the budgets proposed by the president and even the House, the way the House budget process is proceeding. What are your thoughts about what's happening in Washington in regard to the folks who need affordable housing?
It does not look good on the affordable housing front at all. I think folks had a little bit of optimism about Secretary Carson at HUD to begin with, only because he seemed to have some history around subsidized housing. But the truth is that we are, even under the Obama administration, we were going backwards on affordable housing issues. There is not a lot of subsidy left for people anymore. Really, all of the housing work has to be done at the local level, and local communities have to figure out how to create opportunities for safe living standards for people, for affordable home ownership. And then we just don't think there's going to be much help from the federal government around that.
Well, thanks for what you're doing for folks, and we appreciate you being with us. Thanks for
your time.
Thank
you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Krista Simon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.